The views expressed on this Turnbuckle Tabloid live stream or Turnbuckle Tabloid podcast episode do not reflect the views, thoughts, or opinions of the RageWorks brand, including the RageWorks podcast network, RageWorks content partners, advertisers, and affiliates. Viewer and listener discretion is advised.
What's going on, everybody? It's your boy, Jay the Red Santee, host of Turnbuckle Tabloid. And as you know, here on our show, we are big fans of music. Pop, R&B, reggae, rock, whatever have you. We love to play it here on the show. But what we want to play is your music. And how can we do that? So you guys partake and share in our Patreon. Ladies and gentlemen, go to our Patreon at patreon.com/Turnbuckle Tabloid. And just give us a small donation and we would love to share your music on our show. Whether you're an artist, you're a singer, you're a producer, whatever it is that you guys do in the field, we want to share your music to the masses and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of listeners and viewers and followers. So make sure you go to our Patreon at patreon.com/Turnbuckle Tabloid and be a part of our show as much as we want to be a part of sharing your talent. So hope to hear from you guys soon and enjoy the show.
This is the world champion of House of Glory and the crown jewel champion, Anthony Gangone, and you're listening to Turnbuckle Tabloid.
Turnbuckle Tabloid.
3, 2, 1.
Center. I'm a winner. Pockets looking thicker. Go figure. Of course I dicker. Of course sleep dinner. And all night liquor. Don't forget the swisher. I score like swish. I score like this. I score like that. The tribe gets rich. Inside gets sad. She on the cover. Subscribe to the mat. Smoke weed or summer. Light up the gas. Low key I'm thunder. Light up your ass. Low key I wonder. How many licks for a tootsie roll? She licked me up till I came in and stopped. We on the hunt for the bucks and the guap. Pull up and stunt as if I was the rock. Eyebrows raised with the shades and the watch. Mama ain't raised no food, no she did not. They gonna take your boo, you finna watch. Pass her around, the potato is hot. The potato is hot, the potato is hot, the potato is hot.
Came through the spot, pockets on rock and roll. Ain't trying to shoot this shit with you, I cop and go. I be on my way now, pardon me. Apathy for small talks, pardon me. I love big money and archery. Parchment as soon as any one of them start with me. Sparkling water, watching Predator. He just murked Ventura. Stomp your editor, your whole style's out of order. I'm about as well rounded as a quarter. Slap all of you snorters. Now I got cocaine on my fingers. Float busy like Dizzy Coltrane and Mingus. So older than Genghis. Roll over them haters and fold paper. Don't fold you the greatest. Just in case you ain't here, roll over them haters and fold paper. Don't fold you the greatest. Just like thank yous.
How many licks for a tootsie roll? Pop. She licked me up till I came in and stopped. We on the hunt for the bucks and the guap. Pull up and stunt as if I was the rock. Eyebrows raised with the shades and the watch. Mama ain't raised no food, no she did not. Ain't gonna take your boo, you finna watch. Pass her around, the potato is hot. The potato is hot, the potato is hot, the potato is hot.
Turnbuckle Tabloid, cutting a promo.
Cutting a promo this week, ladies and gentlemen. And by the way, I just put Oski on to some new shit that I found out about and he didn't know about. And then now we're learning about it together.
I wish I did.
Those WWE 2K19 mods, bro.
Yeah, that shit's crazy. I didn't know. I thought wrestling games were dead until next year or something, but I'm about to buy a game 2 years old. So
let me ask
I'm about
you,
to buy a game 3 years old, actually. My bad.
Do you think that the video game industry is hurting themselves by not allowing modders to help change and improve the game?
Well, for what? Wrestling games or games in general?
Games in general.
Because a lot of games are promoting mods, like Fallout and Bethesda in general kind of has been promoting mods for quite a while now. 2K, you know, I understand why they don't promote mods, because if they were to promote mods, it'd be like, hey, you guys can update the rosters yourselves. You don't need to buy our new next game. So I get why they don't in terms of sport games and wrestling games, but in other games, why the fuck not? It makes your game more fun. I know Grand Theft Auto promotes mods. I know Fallout, Elder Scrolls. A lot of games promote mods. Haven't seen a promotion in a while. So,
well,
based on what I'm seeing now for 2K19, I mean, Cody looks exactly like Cody. Kenny Omega has the Titantron entrance and everything. There's AEW Arena. Like, it's nuts. Whoever did it, like, kudos. You did a great. You're an artist, because this shit's amazing.
But one of the biggest games out there that you mentioned, Grand Theft Auto, those motherfuckers, they opened the floor. Rockstar, who should put restrictions on mods, they let the game open up for everything. I've seen mods to where they've let creators fucking streamline the graphics, more lighting that comes off the cars. They did a whole mod for Vice City on there with the Vice City cars. I mean, this is a company that doesn't need to do that, but
they do.
And
they make money for it because they're not dumb. Like I said, GTA 5 is how old now? It's been through three gaming generations. But why do people still play it? Because you could become Spider-Man on a mod on PC. And they promote that because why the fuck am I going to tell you to not play my game?
Right.
They're not dumb. So I'm surprised at how good WWE's mods are. And I'll probably buy it. And I'll see. I'll give you guys an update on that. So.
Yeah, we're gonna do a discussion probably later on in a later episode about WWE games, because there's a lot of talk about what's gonna happen with the upcoming WWE series soon. So we'll have a discussion
about
that.
We should do. I don't think we've done this yet. If we have, then maybe I'm just have bad memory, but we should make it a list and make it like our top four wrestling games of all time, sort of thing.
Yeah, we kind of did something like that, but we still need to touch up on what needs to it needs to be updated. So this week we're discussing. We have a conversation going on with. Well, you know, as of last week, we had the transitioning beginning where WWE's network is it's now on the Peacock. Get yourself the premium, where you pay $9.99 a month, and not only do you get the WWE Network, but you get ad-free Peacock. Did you get the Peacock?
I got the cock.
Did you get the cock?
Not the pee part, but no, I'm kidding.
Do you love the cock so far?
No.
You're not loving the cock.
No, and I'm straight. I'm straighter than a pencil. No. Yes, I got Peacock. I bought the $9.99 version, and you know, it was funny because I was on Xbox with my friends last night, and my boy tells me, yo, why can't I watch this shit on the network? I'm like, pa, the network's done. And he goes, what? He goes, why the fuck is it on Peacock? He goes, nah, fuck this, man. And he's not even a wrestling fan like that, and he even knew this partnership would have been doomed for failure. And I'll be honest with you, I don't like it at all. I hate the interface. I hate how it's a separate fucking thing you have to click on Peacock. It's so piss poor. And now with the news of all the you know, them looking at the content and fixing the content, it's like, yo, Vince is regretting this, I think, very much so. The money is great, and listen, at the end of the day, Vince just cares about the money, so I don't think he cares. But as a wrestling fan, I'm disappointed. This shit sucks. I know it's new, but yikers. I hate everything about it. I miss my network, man. I'm legitimately about to find out how to make a UK WWE Network account and hack my shit so it looks like I'm in the UK to get my shit back.
Oh, you can. You can. There's a way.
Oh, I'll be doing that.
Yeah, because... there's a way you can do it. You could change your VPN on the Fire Stick and stuff, and you can change it. And there's a way that it's just like you could do for Netflix, where you can get the overseas stuff. You can do the same thing on the WWE network. But
yeah, I'm done with it, so I might do that.
Since I'm a casual network viewer these days because of, you know, watching it on pay-per-view, just for pay-per-views and such like that, and not really concerned about the older content, because to be honest with you, YouTube still has it if I want to watch a match. I'm open to see what Peacock is going to do. I liked what they did recently when they did their top 50 women's list. So at least they're trying to bring in an audience by doing that. But now we're hearing about the archives that's on the chopping block, and they started off the back. We talked about it last episode. They spoke about the WrestleMania 6 match between Bad News Brown and Roddy Piper, where Roddy was in half blackface, in which I spoke about it, and I said I understand, I get where they felt there was no need for it. But they also missed out on the context of the reasoning for it as well.
Why can't things just stay the way they were and be taught as a, hey, don't do this in the future sort of thing, as an educational purpose? Like, I'm not saying everything should stay, because there are things that need to be deleted in the past. Believe me, I understand that. But when it comes to this, why does it have to be a thing where... Why does every little thing have to be fucking edited now? I think that goes hand in hand with the whole Lil Nas X drama that's going on right now, about how he came out with some satanic shoe or something, or in his new song he talked about hell and Satan and stuff, and he even said it. He was like, "I'm sorry, but I'm not going to cater to your children for my career." Like,
That's your job.
That's your job.
As a parent, that's your job.
As a parent, you should be watching what your kid is watching. I shouldn't have to change my whole career path for you now. And I agree 100%. What happened to the days where things in the past were learning lessons and not fucking banned from society? Like, I know I sound like an ass right now, but the same thing goes with wrestling and Peacock. It's like, the Vince McMahon keep it up my N-word. Like, why does that have to go anywhere? Like, that's an example of that's out of pocket. Don't do that. I feel like there's ways around it to make, now it's making all of us who used to love and watch those moments suffer now, because now I'm suffering, because I can't watch the panty raid episode on SpongeBob because all you fucking pussies, because you pussies think there's a problem with it. So... like, I'm over it, and maybe I'm fucking over it. You took away my childhood because you guys are fucking pansies. Like, come on.
It's funny because being a parent that I am, I tend to believe that I'm able to have certain open door policies for subject matter in their life. Well. I'm not gonna say certain. I always leave the door open for a lot of things. It's just my child is the one that if she's open to have that conversation, we're good to have it. And for the most part, she's been very open to have conversations pertaining to a lot of things that's going on. And to me, I think that's become a product of this day and age, to where parents, it's on two ways of a spectrum. You're either considering yourself not comfortable with today's society when it comes to what's happening in the past or what's happening now when transitioning to this cancel culture, or not understanding of history to now and what's the transition where people just want to put it underneath the fucking the bed and just store it away and never to bring it out from under it again. Or you have those that are way too open with it and you're having this connection with your kid, like that they're not your kid, that they're your best friend, that they're your buddy and all that shit. And it's confusing.
There has to be a balance.
Yeah, of course. But I take where it comes to this cancel culture thing. I'm not a fan of this. I've never been a fan of
censorship. I fucking hate cancel culture.
I've never been a fan of censorship. I'm not a fan of it.
I fucking hate it.
There's certain things where you do that face when it's like, I remember that.
Okay, but that's a learning lesson where it's right, like, oh, look where we were 50 years ago. That's how it should be portrayed. It's not a thing where that's how I think it should be taken. It should be taken like, oh, Vince said that in 2007? Yeesh. He ain't saying that now.
Well,
it's still there.
I was having a conversation with one of
Bleep it. Don't take it out. Just bleep it. Keep it up, my bleep. And I would have been fine with that. But take it off completely. Come on.
I was having a conversation with one of our listeners. Shout out to our boy Frankie. Frankie, who listens to us, and he's like he was probably the reason why I wanted to do a cutting a promo this week about it, because we were talking about the what's next on the chopping block from Peacock, and we were talking about certain things that are getting cut, and I go, let's say the Katie Vick. We spoke about it last episode. Katie Vick is going to be on that. Katie Vick is going to get cut.
No.
Yeah, Katie Vick is going to get cut. Triple H
sneezing is going to get cut off at this point.
No, but, you know, Katie Vick.
Katie Vick's going to get kicked off.
Triple H going into the coffin doing what he did is going to get cut, right? So
to this day, I love when he talks about that. How awkward that was doing that shit.
Now, I say, look, I wouldn't censor it because of the context of what's going on. I would censor it because of the content, because it sucked.
right.
Cut out the suck.
Well, if that's the case, then half of the WWE's history should be kicked off.
Exactly. Cut out what sucks. Fuck that. But no, honestly, when I mentioned the Roddy Piper thing, with the Piper thing was, all right, the first thing that they saw was the blackface, but they did not correlate the blackface to what the real story was. In which, if they listen to Roddy's promo, he said, generally, you know, and I'm paraphrasing, which is, you could be black, you could be black, you could be white, you could be whatever it is that you are. You know, basically, anyone's an asshole. And that's just what it was. And that's what the whole depiction was trying to pertain. Doesn't matter if I'm black, doesn't matter if I'm white. Anybody could be an asshole. I don't care if you're from Harlem. I don't care if I'm from Glasgow, Scotland, whatever the case.
Oh, a learning lesson.
Right, exactly. But everybody just takes the imagery, or takes the these days, they take the imagery, or they take the content subject title without looking at the point of what's being done. You know what I mean? Now, right. The Vince thing, I'm like, I thought it was fucking hilarious. I thought it was jokes, but do I see
that's,
where...
That's the one question I would ask Vince if I ever met him in person. Like, what made you do that? Like I loved it. It was fucking hilarious, but like, what made you go and say that? Like,
but do I see the sensitivity level on it? Yeah, I get it. I get that, because especially for a company like NBC, they don't want that. I get that.
I understand. And I get it.
And unless, see, I'm more along the line of, don't censor it. Just do us a favor and fucking just put a disclaimer beginning of the episode. You know,
just you can literally put warning. Like, we were just talking about Reservoir Dogs, right? Like, if I hope not, knock on wood, that they fucking cancel that for the words that are in there. You could easily just drop a disclaimer in the beginning and saying there is racial slurs in this movie. If you can't deal with it, well, there's an option to censor them. But if there's not, we have an unfiltered version as well that you could watch. Like, there are ways to do this than kicking things off the planet.
Who the hell wants to watch a fucking PG version of Reservoir Dogs? Like, that's
do I have to say? Do I have to say it?
Every Karen, or like, who would watch that?
No, not every Karen, but every I can't say it, but you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, people get offended from some of those.
Oh, snowflakes. How would you ever even enjoy something like that? This is what I say.
You're killing me. I can't say it. Fine. Fuck it. In Reservoir Dogs, there's a racial slur in there. They use the N-word.
They use the N-word. Yeah.
If you're of that color, then then if you don't want to hear it, then it should be an option.
And I'm going to tell you honestly. I'm gonna be honest with you. The people who are more offended by this, there are not black people. The people who are more offended by it are white people who think that they're protecting black people from not wanting to hear the word. And it's even more
offended by that. Well, I'm
and
white.
It's more racist.
I'm white. I'm not offended by the word. But if a friend or a family member were to watch this film and then go, whoa, I'd be like, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't, like, you know, out of respect.
Yeah, but still, but this is something.
As HBO Max, I would provide them an alternative.
But this is part of history.
Version.
This is part of history.
I know, and so is the WWE Network. Right. WrestleMania.
So, but there are
Piper
more.
There's shit that, you know.
But people are more offended, who are only offended because they think that they're protecting someone else. And to me, that's even more fucking racist, because if
I'm not racist, I have a black friend. It's like, oh no, don't say that. That makes you racist, my friend. That makes you race I, which I usually call one racist person race I.
Yeah, but that's more of the reasoning. It's almost as like saying that you're too sensitive or you're too soft to not be hit with reality or hit with what's happening or what has happened in history, that you're not able to process or deal with it. And it's like, no. For instance, wait till they get into the ECW shit. Wait till they get to
breaking news, ECW is officially off the WWE Network on Peacock tomorrow.
It's gotta be, right?
I think so.
It's gotta be.
They're gonna wipe this place. This is what I'm telling you. This is why I'm saying, like, are you sure Vince is gonna really like stay true with this? Like, I don't know how long this partnership's gonna last, because they're taking away a lot of memorable wrestling moments here that matter.
Yeah, so it's gotta be because
I wonder how long this is going to last, because I think they were better off by themselves, but, you know.
Men assaulting women, right?
Oh, of course. Oh, they're going to cancel out Trish Stratus stripping and barking like a dog, right? They gotta cancel that.
Oh, that's another one. The Sandman crucifixion from Raven, when Raven did the crucifixion of him. Even a Stone Cold crucifixion.
But those are all memorable moments. That's what made the Attitude Era. The Attitude Era. Why? Like, if you take that away, then you're taking away. That's like, I don't know. That's like MLB Network taking away game-winning walk-off home runs because one of them has a middle finger in the shot. Like, no, that's important. Don't take that away. Like, you taking that away is doing the business a disservice, and it's unfortunate.
I kind of think that's different because
not
because
I
think
be
it's
kind of
different
gonna,
because MLB protects themselves from shit like that. That's different.
Yeah, but they can easily just censor out the fucking middle finger and not take away the entire moment.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. If you X out everything, I think that's kind of different. But I think with the moments like I mentioned, like fucking Beulah McGillicuddy getting fucking hit with a pile driver, shit like that, or during the Attitude Era where you get that whole Shawn Michaels, Triple H, China promo where I was up all night. Oh, that whole, like, Those are things like really.
The one man who will never get canceled is Dice Clay. You'll never cancel Dice Clay, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, the one that never that hasn't gotten canceled or hasn't even been touched yet has been Howard Stern. And they remember he was my guy. And
yeah, that's coming up.
Yeah, no, he's been untouchable. And I'm talking
I was just watching a few clips from Howard Stern, and I'm like, wowzers.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's gotten to that point. It's gotten to where.
But it's all jokes, no malice sometimes.
But you know what? To us, yeah. There's no jokes. I mean, it's all jokes, no malice. I get that. And that's the way that we as fans, listeners, participants of the content, we watch it. But there's also a thing to where, you know, we have an underlining look at the person or the persons that are doing it, you know. And I think that when it comes to cancel culture, you also have to look at the person that's in the field or in the area of entertainment in which they're doing this this, I guess, shock value or this blurred lines or balancing on the gray or the blue, kind of whatever context you want to put it in.
I just think there's a simpler solution to this. I just think that there's a simpler answer. That's why I'm pissed off. I'm not pissed off because some of the things, like you said, matter. I understand some things are like, you know, okay, oof. But it's a simple, you know, if you're making a guy from Peacock watch all the fucking content, at least on the way, make two options on the damn pay-per-view where it's like, hey, this pay-per-view has some things that are inappropriate. So here's an unfiltered version, and here's a version where we bloop out what you might want or not want to hear. And that's it.
Why
get rid of the whole thing?
I think that's a smarter way of going about it, where you have
your options. Two options.
I agree with that.
If your heart can handle it, which I always will, you can watch the rated R version, the unfiltered version. And if you don't want to, and you want to watch with your kids, if you want to watch your kids that episode of Raw, there's a version where there's censorship and bleeping out. But getting rid of the whole product is actually a real disservice to the business. And I'm honestly over Peacock at this point. A lot of people are pissed off at Peacock, and a lot of people are already asking WWE to back out of this company.
They just got paid $5 billion. Are you serious?
It's not going to happen, but I understand their anger because a lot of things that I love and I used to watch on the network myself are now being kicked off. And
fam,
it's like, okay.
You'll get it on YouTube. I mean, let's be honest. Now,
okay, but now let me ask you this. All these censorships, if YouTube didn't, let's just say YouTube didn't, I know your answer is going to be we have YouTube, but let's just say we can't find something on YouTube. Let's just say YouTube gets into this cancel bullshit where they go over it and everything.
I mean, there's a lot of stuff that get blocked because WWE has blocked it on YouTube, but let me, things always come up anyway.
But does like a Ben, for say, does Ben go back to buying DVDs and Blu-rays? And do we start buying the WWE DVDs again? Because
now you go on Daily Motion. That's where you go. Daily Motion.
Once again, if there was no internet, YouTube gone, Daily Motion.
You can't put that up. You can't do that because there's no such thing of you can't bring that scenario up because then this Peacock deal would have never happened.
I actually know a lot of people in the wrestling world, fans, and you know, people like us.
You do?
Who actually love still buying the DVDs and actually buy the WrestleManias every year and buys the NXT TakeOvers on DVD, like the best of 2020 shit. Like, people still buy the DVDs. As shocking as that is, which it is shocking for me because why? People are still buying these things. So there might be a market for those DVDs again. I guarantee you, these ECW movies, DVDs that were made in 05 and 04 when we did the revival of ECW are going to skyrocket like four times the amount.
But think about it like this: everybody's sitting there giving Peacock shit, right? Which, granted, listen, you gotta understand, this is a multi-billion-dollar
business.
It's a multi-billion-dollar company, right?
And you're new, and it's a new platform. So
but you
don't
gotta
want
also
any
take in consideration. But you also gotta take in consideration as well. WWE has done it themselves. They totally
not to this extent, though.
They totally obliterated the existence of a wrestler. Chris Benoit does not exist at
all.
Well,
that's a different scale. That's
but,
the man.
Okay, right.
There's a difference between Vince saying "keep it up, my N-word" and someone murdering two of his family members and killing himself.
Right.
That's a
but you
more
know
extreme.
What? But you know what? I get it. But you can't even
done.
Type his name in the search.
Well, I understand why.
But why?
WWE, okay. Remember that time where after Chris Benoit's death, WWE got a lot of shit. Linda couldn't go in politics because of this. It was a big thing.
But it
so,
was
self.
That was self.
They had to clear their
that
tracks.
That was self defensing because they knew of their participation in that in certain ways. Right? Get it. And this is their way of trying to whitewash the fact that they were part of this. But WWE has censored themselves as well. They've done that.
But
like I said,
but not to this extent.
What's the extent, though? The extent is not really
every content, every single show, every episode is being looked at with a magnifying glass. And if something is even mildly offensive, they are taking it off the fucking program. That's
okay.
Why.
There's a difference between
WWE did, because WWE would cancel things and mute things if it was brought to the culture's attention, and if it was like, okay, and there was a big rally behind it. Peacock is going out of their way now to look themselves, even without people's guidance or anything. They said they're looking at every single show, every pay-per-view, every documentary, every single piece of content, which I think is over 17,000 hours worth of content right now on the Peacock network, being reviewed and being basically muted if it's inappropriate. So
no. Wait, hold on a second. JD,
that's intense.
JD, yo, no, you're right, JD, because JD's mentioned. He said the matches are still there. The matches are still there, but you can't type his name to fucking find him. You have to know. You have to be a historian.
JD said that. Yo, JD, you realize that
you have to know exactly what match he was in.
Type in Backlash of 2004 or 5, and you'll see Randy Orton challenges for the World Heavyweight Championship. Doesn't tell you who he faces, but you'll find out at the main event who he faces.
Exactly.
Find out at the end of the show who he faces, but they don't tell you on the they don't write his name on it. I'll tell
fucking,
you that much.
He's Voldemort. You can't fucking mention his name.
Chris Benoit, I think, is the man that will always be. You'll never see him again. His name will never be written in. Literally, look it up on the network. It says Randy Orton challenges for the World Heavyweight Championship. Every single match I've seen with Chris Benoit, which I've done Chris Benoit research, okay? I've watched all of his pay-per-view matches. I've went out of my way to do it. And every single time, his name is nowhere near it. Even sometimes when he's in there, like they lower the volume. Like they don't want anything in regards to him on their platform, which is understandable, but there's a difference between Benoit and Mae Young giving birth to a hand, which people are saying they're going to cancel that for what reason?
No, there's certain things that I know. There's one that that Frankie brought up that I was like, yeah, that might be on the block too. Is Val Venus choppy choppy, cuckoo choppy choppy your penis?
I really hope not.
Yeah.
Why? Oh. Why? Because they're cutting off someone's dick. What's the? Come on.
Well, they never show that they do it, but you never. I told him that might be on the chopping block.
Why couldn't I be born in the 80s?
Why? Why? So you could bitch about it like the rest of us would be bitching about it. Like
yeah,
why?
Yeah. Well, no. Because now I'm young. I'm 23 years old. This is only the beginning of this cancel culture bullshit. The rest of my life is gonna be daisies and fucking bullshit, and nothing is gonna be the same again. This is only the beginning, and I really hope that one day someone stands up and says, "I'm not standing for this," and it becomes a revolution, and we get these old things back. But I don't see that happening. We're fucked, bruh. Say goodbye to all your comedy specials you love. Say goodbye to all these wrestling programs we love and hold dear to us. It's all gone. Say goodbye to Pepe Le Pew. Say goodbye to the Panty Raid episode of SpongeBob. Say goodbye to, I don't even know, the other fucking cartoon, Mr. Potato Head. They're gone. The WWE group is joining them into the gates of heaven because the Attitude Era is about to be washed. ECW is about to be washed.
You think
keep it up, my N-word's gone. So
you think the rated R segment is going to be gone?
The sex thing? Yes. Yeah. Yes, and they already censored that once because Lita's nip slipped, and they already had to censor that. So now they're censoring this. So
what else do you think?
Say goodbye. Everyone in the Facebook right now, say goodbye. Bye, everything we love. Bye.
What else goes on? You think that excessive blood is going to be gone?
Nah, that's not going to go. I don't think blood's going to be a problem because that still happens today. And if they cancel that, then that means that they're going to have nah. Well, for a short amount of time, didn't they black and white the screen when
but this is what I'm telling you. WWE was censoring themselves
but they took that off quick.
No, they didn't. They still do it. They don't even want blood on TV. So, like, honestly, well, they don't even want that.
Well, WWE, it happens. That's why it happens. I think someone pulled Vince to the side and said, you know people are going to bleed, right? Regardless of what you want to say or do.
No, they still show it. Right? They only, and you know what? In certain contexts, they would let it go. But They definitely censored and put a black and white on fucking on blood. Yes, of course. WWE has censored themselves.
I'll stop watching. I'm done with this pussy shit. I'm sorry.
No, you won't.
I'm over this, man. I'm sorry. SpongeBob was the first strike for me, which pissed me off beyond belief. How you gonna Red, you heard the other episode they got rid of?
Which one?
They got rid of the SpongeBob episode where There's a disease around Bikini Bottom and it's algae, but they treat algae like it's like kind of like it compared to COVID. They got rid of it because they compared the algae episode to COVID.
All right. That I have to look into. That's ridiculous. How about
the, I swear to God.
Is Ren and Stimpy on Paramount Plus?
I think Ren and Stimpy is that Nicktoons, right? That should be on Paramount. Yeah, that's on Paramount.
Is it on there?
I'll check right now.
Yeah, but, we have to check because there's no episode that should be on there then. That should be canceled fully. Fully.
Well, this is what I'm saying. Like, but Red, this is all the stuff we love and hold dear to our hearts. Like, what are we doing here? Wrestling, I feel like, let me ask you this. Should we be concerned as wrestling fans that the PG era might get worse? Because think about it. If Peacock's canceling all their shit in the past, you think Vince is going to go, let's make more shit for them to edit?
No, because I've already told you. I mentioned it in the previous
episode. Ren and Stimpy is on Paramount Plus, and it's every season.
Interesting.
Every season and every episode.
Someone has not watched really their episodes.
No.
The overtones on that show is,
alarming.
Exactly. But I told you WWE has now become, well, not now become because they've been balancing this last for the past, what, 20, maybe 15, 20 years or something like that. They've become Disneyland. They've become right now. I just saw a fucking, a graphic to where, Riddle just kicked off his slides and birds were flying out. So it's like
What?
Oh, you didn't see that?
No. Tell me that again, because I don't think I heard you. Probably.
You know when Riddle does his thing when he jumps in and he goes in the ring and he kicks off his slides and then it's the explosions, whatever. Now they have it to where a graphic shows birds flying off of his foot or whatever. I just saw it.
That was on Raw?
Yes. Yes, it's just like last week. People.
I'm rewinding right now.
It's just like when we spoke about the Braun Strowman run around the ring, and they heard the fucking train sounds. They were somebody goes, I thought I imagined that. I didn't know that was real. I'm like, yeah, they're making train sounds.
Hold on, I'm watching this right now. Hold on, watch this right now. Well, here we go. Why?
You see, WWE is doing it themselves. It's not just Peacock.
What's to censor?
WWE is doing stupid shit themselves.
No. That wasn't meant. That was meant for looks. There was no censor there.
No, I'm not saying to censor. What I'm saying is that WWE is minimizing the adult content themselves. This is why.
Why does Matt Riddle have doves flying out of his feet?
I'm not telling you they're censoring. I'm telling you that WWE is downplaying their adult content themselves. So they're not upset about if Peacock does it. They don't care. They really don't. Like I said, we mentioned the blood gone, Benoit gone. What was the other one that was eradicated?
Keep it on my N-word.
They like ECW content gone. They police themselves as well.
Yeah, but it's worse. This is way worse. Way worse. Because now they're looking at everything like a mic under a microscope. It's not just like, oh, the obvious. Now it's like, oh, now we're like diving into every crevice.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Salud, sir. No, it's true. We have to take in consideration that this is it's almost like WWE Network passed over to Peacock. They already filtered out themselves, and now you got to go through a bigger filtration of the content. And I agree with you. They should have two different viewing content, 18 and over, or, you know, keep it PG, whatever. They should do that. That I agree with. They should have that. But
give us an option.
Even so, I'm not a fan of censorship, because what you're doing is you're trying to erase history, and there's no need for it. In any sense of the form, there's no need for it. And these are people who are basically, business-wise, you're trying to protect the product. Why are you trying to protect your product? Because you are afraid of a backlash from people who do not know how to educate and raise your child. And that's my whole scenario. Listen, I'm going to be honest with you guys. I'm a dad. I have a daughter and such, and my daughter is very conscious about social climate. Am I okay with that, saying that? Huh? My daughter is very conscious about the social landscape, you know, and some may say that, you know, they make up. Some may say that some may say that she may be a social justice warrior, whatever the case may be, at her age, whatever. But she's very social conscious about it. And I applaud her, and I appreciate, and I'm proud that she's very caring and understanding about other people. But she's also aware in this household, her fucking dad is an asshole, and he says retarded and dumb shit. And she doesn't even like that I used the word I just said. She hates that.
Yeah, bong that out.
Yeah, but that's the other thing.
I'm not doing shit.
But that's the other thing. There's when it comes to certain ways of and certain executions of showing history. Censoring it is not the way to educate. That's not how we do it.
Yeah, I agree. It's a learning lesson.
And the crazy thing is that we sit there and we go, this is what we're going to do in wrestling? We're going to do it with wrestling? It's ridiculous. But I'm going to close out the episode. We're going to close out the segment right now with this. To me, with Peacock, it's just a business with them, because they're trying to protect themselves, because what they're doing is what they're saying is we want more viewers to come in, so to show the masses that we're conscious and being sensitive to certain content, we're going to do whatever means to do it. And that's them on a business sense. But being an NBC show, I've seen worse stuff on The Blacklist. I've seen worse stuff on The Office, where they say some fucking rude shit. You know what I'm saying?
What? Season one is extremely inappropriate.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
No one's censoring that. But they censor Honky Tonk Man calling someone.
I've seen worse.
A mook.
I've seen racially biased stuff on Seinfeld. I mean, come on. Let's be honest here. So let's look at what the landscape from here on out is. What kind of person or individual are you going to be? Do you want to be? Oh, we got one phone call coming in quick. Turnbuckle Tabloid, who's this?
What's up, Chad? What's up, Oscar?
Mook Marco. What's going on, Marco?
Marco.
My brother from another mother is. How you doing, guys?
All righty, Marco. We got to do this quick. We got to be out of here quick. But, Marco, what's your thoughts about the sensitivity issue in wrestling going to Peacock, with WWE going to Peacock?
Well, not the Peacock part.
I agree with you with the thing they want to be more viewers. And it's a business. So, yeah. Is it doing the sensitive stuff? Like, well, want to appeal for that public. So, they need that.
I can only imagine the stuff that's gonna get cut out of anything that's like the Mexicools. I can imagine the Mexicools getting censored out for Mexicans getting ridden. Mexican coming in the ring on a lawnmower.
Oh no, maybe, man. If Neville and Children here today, it would get censored.
Oh no, you're right. If No, definitely. If Married with Children was on now, please, it'd be horrible.
In the color, shows the 90s, man, shows right now, they're going to be censored, or they're not even going to make it on the air. They're going to go Netflix, HBO, or something like that. They're not going to do it. They're going to censor a lot of things.
But Marco, gotta let you go, but I just want to ask quickly, how's everything going over there? Yeah, everything's all right? How's the family?
Well, I just got my vaccines, and my mom and dad are doing good. Cool. My kids, my above all students, and everything's going cool, man.
All right, brother. Thanks for checking.
Good to hear, boss.
We're trying to get good. Let's see if spring break brings good news, man.
I know spring break must have been a hell of a ride for you guys over there. But thank you for love and supporting. Matter of fact, I gotta hit you up soon because we got some business we need to talk, because I want to bring more of your stuff over to the show. So we'll be in touch soon enough, sir.
Okay, man.
Thanks again, and give us one for the road.
Latino Heat, Turnbuckle Tabloid, New York. Take care, guys.
Later.
Yeah, I really feel that it's almost as though you're trying to erase our fucking history, whether it be wrestling or just anything that we have in just life, period. And I have to say that. Some people just don't want to be parents, and some people just are overly sensitive because they're not sensitive for themselves. They're sensitive for other people, which is not necessary.
It's funny how we cancel Sesame Street but promote Christopher Columbus Day.
Yeah, right. Mm.
Just saying.
Yeah.
Sorry to have to bring that one up, but you're canceling the Penny Raid episode from SpongeBob, but you care more about that than Christopher Columbus Day. I'm still off from work because of Christopher Columbus.
Yeah, right.
What a great man he was. but I digress.
All right, guys. When we come back, we have a – oh, my God. It was such a cool sit-down episode of just remarkable and extreme and humongous proportions. And I say that because we have the biggest little man in comedy – stopping by to talk with us. Brad Williams kicks in with us, and he discusses not only his career in wrestling and growing up, and his love of comedy, but also his extreme love of wrestling. He is a humongous fan of all things big and small. If you guys aren't getting the double entendre, he's a little person, but he's fucking hilarious. He's a funny dude. You guys got to check him out, Brad Williams. And he talks about meeting Jericho, going on a Jericho cruise, and the amount of wrestlers he's met and as much interaction he's gotten with them. So guys, don't go anywhere. Stick around. We have a humongous episode coming up. So talk to you guys in a sec. Laters. So, I know we were speaking about guys. You don't understand how much joy this brings me, because I have a love of wrestling, and this is why we do the podcast. But my other passion and love is also stand-up comedy. I've been a fan since I was a kid. My mother put me onto it, and as a kid, I watched Carlin, Williams, Pryor. I mean, growing up, I don't know what the hell's wrong with my mother, because I was listening to some weird shit back in the day. My mother was into some weird shit. But stand-up has always been a love for me, and one of my dreams is to one day actually just do it. And we've had our fair share of comedians on the show. We've had James Madden. We've just recently had Bob Levy on the show and such. And today we have Brad Williams. And my guy, I was put on to you by a friend of mine not too long ago. And he says, I got a guy that I want you to see. You're going to love him. And he knows how much I love stand-up. But another thing that I love is, I'm sorry to say, but I love little people. My two goals in life was to have a gay friend and a little person as a best friend. And he put me on, I watched your stand-up, and I was not only drawn because of your stature, but you are a fucking hilarious dude. It was crazy how you don't take yourself too serious, man. And it's a beautiful thing that these day and age, especially with this cancel culture bullshit that's going on. How is it that, what was it that came to you first? Was it wrestling or was it comedy?
Oh man. Wrestling. I don't know. See, like, comedy came to me first in that I was taught from a very young age to make jokes. My dad, who is not a dwarf, I know, weird, we don't all come from the same tribe. But my dad told me that the best way to get people comfortable with me being different was to make a quick joke, and just always make a quick joke. So I was introduced to comedy at a very young age in terms of that. But in terms of, like, just me being a fan of stuff, wrestling, man, wrestling. My earliest wrestling memories was, like, my friend – oh, the kids won't know what I'm about to say. My friend had illegal cable, okay? Illegal cable. What's that, old man Williams? Well, you used to have a cable box, and if you slipped the cable guy an extra 15, 20 bucks, they would give you the porn channels and some of the pay-per-view channels. It was a pirate box, all right? So you would get stuff for free. It was basically the old-school version of, I think they're called torrents now.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he had the box, so we would go and watch all the WWF, the old WWF pay-per-views, and, you know, watch the Royal Rumble and watch Hogan and Hart and Ted DiBiase and all those guys. So, yeah, that's how I got introduced to it, and been a fan my whole life. And now I've gotten to the point where I got a little bit of celebrity, a little bit. I'm not trying to toot my own horn, but I've got enough to where some pro wrestlers – are now friends of mine. And that's insane to me. Like, it's crazy that, but you think about the lifestyle, what it is, sort of the nomadic lifestyle of comedians and wrestlers, always on the road, going from town to town, doing a show, hopping back on. And there's a lot of similarities there, a lot of similarities. So I think that wrestlers and comedians kind of bond over that. And, it's crazy how I've made some fast friends with some of my heroes.
Yeah, I was gonna ask, because I know you were on the Jericho cruise.
You mean the Chris Jericho Rock and Wrestling Ranger at Sea?
Yeah,
the greatest experience you can have on the ocean. You damn right I was.
Yeah.
It was the most fun I've ever had. It was the best. I'm doing the third one. I was supposed to do the second one as well. I was on the first one, had to miss the second one because my wife had the nerve to get pregnant.
Who is anyway. She? I mean, come on. I mean, honestly.
I know. So, because the cruise was about the same time as her, like, 8th month of pregnancy. So we're like, yeah, I can't be on a cruise in the Bahamas. Like, hey, honey, did your water break? Oh, shit. Good luck. Let me know how it turns out. So, I missed the second one, but I'll be back for the third one. I'm hosting the third Chris Jericho Rock and Wrestling Rager at Sea, the triple whammy. And that's just, it's metal bands, it's wrestling, It's comedy. It's everything amazing and everything that I love. I love wrestling. I love metal. I love comedy. So we put them all in the same boat with some amazing fans, and it's just a blast. I can't wait.
When you first went, were you booked or did you go as a fan for the first time?
Oh, the first one I was booked. So here's how that story happened. So I was doing stand-up comedy at the Tampa Improv. And back in the days before COVID, I would do meet and greets after the show. I would take pictures of people. And this lovely woman comes up to me and just says, "Oh, my God, you're really funny. I really enjoyed it. It's so cool. And my husband's in show business. And so I kind of get it. I kind of get the lifestyle." And I kind of laughed because I hear this all the time. I hear people come up to me all the time like, "Hey, my brother's a comedian. You probably know him." And then they tell me their brother's name, and I go, "Nope, don't know him." They go, "No, he's a really big time comedian." I'm like, "Well, if he is, he's not, because I don't know him." Like, because comedy is such the type of world that if you're getting booked at all beyond the open mic level, I'll probably know you just because it's such a small world. I hate saying that because obviously, but it is. So that happens all the time. People say, "Do you know my friend? He's an actor." And it's like, he's an extra, which is fine. We all get to that. We all start at that point, but I don't know all those people. So when I hear people say, "Oh, my husband's in show business," I'm like, "I'm sure he is." And I go, "Cool. What does your husband do?" And she goes, "He's a wrestler, but he kind of does a lot of things." And I'm like, so he's a wrestler, he's a waiter, what else does he do? And then she's like, "Oh, no, my husband's name is Chris Jericho." And I'm like, "What?"
Markout moment. That was a good markout moment right there.
Yeah, oh, my God. So, I felt like, okay, now, yeah, that's legit. I believe he knows what show business is. So, and she tells me, she goes, "Oh, he would love you. I'm going to tell him to watch some of your stuff." And literally within like an hour or two, Jericho starts following me on Twitter and sends me a message and goes, "Hey, I hear you're really funny. Would you want to do my podcast sometime?" I'm like, "Fuck yeah!" Like, I'm trying to contain my excitement for actually talking to the Ayatollah of rock and roll. So I ended up doing his podcast. He's out in LA a couple months later. I do his podcast and we hit it off and we became friends from that. And, he's a really good guy. For the people that say never meet your heroes, they haven't met Chris Jericho. So he's just a great dude. And then he starts doing the cruise, and I actually wrote him and I was like, "How do I get on this cruise? I would like to do this cruise." He goes, "I'm not really paying people a lot of money right now. Like, there's not a lot of money in it. Like, I'm just trying to get it sold out. I'm not like, you won't make money." I go, "I don't give a shit.
Right.
I just want to be on the cruise. There's wrestling on a boat. Let's go." And he's like, "All right." So he books me, and it was so much fun, man. It was, and this is before AEW. So the two wrestling companies that were on the boat were Impact Wrestling and Ring of Honor. And they got to do a bunch of cross promotional matches. And I got introduced to so many wrestlers that then became the modern roster at AEW. I was introduced to the Young Bucks. I was introduced to Brian Cage, to Scorpio Sky and SCU and Luchasaurus and all those guys. So like it was really cool to see them then. And now they're in AEW and now they're like, "Yeah, you're the dude from the crew." Like, and it's now I feel like I can talk to those guys, and it's not weird because I've already hung out with them. But it was the most fun. It was the most fun. And you had legends like Jim Ross and Jerry the King Lawler were on the boat, and a bunch of people like that. And like, so I did a podcast with Jim Ross, Don Callis, Jericho, and Conan. And we're doing a podcast. It was Conan's podcast. And during the podcast, Jim Ross called me humping somebody's leg. So people can go back to that podcast. It's Conan's podcast. It's from the Jericho Cruise, and Jim Ross is doing like the "Good God Almighty, he's tearing that leg in half." And it's the biggest joygasm I've ever had in my life, just having Jim Ross call anything that I do.
I remember why I was watching, I saw the pictures you were posting on Twitter and on Instagram, and I was like, that guy looks like he's having a fucking blast, dude. That guy looks like it's amazing.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, now I'm friends with Lance Archer, and he came to one of my shows in Dallas, and like he was marking out on me, and I'm like, dude, you're the Murder Hawk monster. I'm marking out on you, and like we're just like doing this like fan circle jerk of each other, and he's a really good guy. And then like he put me up in the blackout, and that is, I was not expecting to be that high off the ground. He's 6'8".
Yeah,
and then with his arms, I was probably about 8 feet in the air. Holy crap! So. Here's a fun story when Lance Archer was at my show. Lance Archer comes to my show. He's near the front. He's wearing a mask. He's doing great. And then during the show, the table right next to Lance Archer, they're not heckling. They're just kind of drunk and talking too loudly and commenting on all the jokes. And I'm trying to calm them down, but it's just not happening. But they're not being mean enough to where I can throw them out. It's this weird gray area as a comedian. And then so Lance sends them a Bud Light. And the waitress like gives them Bud Light. And they go, oh, who's this from? And they point to Lance Archer. And Lance Archer raises a Bud to them and then just makes the zip it sign across his lips. And when the Murder Hawk monster, a 6'8" guy with a red mohawk down his back, tells you to shut the fuck up, holy crap, did these people become the model audience members after that?
I could imagine. Awesome. I could imagine. I would have probably sipped a beer and just laughed at every fucking thing you said from here on out.
It was so great. I definitely would love it if like Lance came on tour with me and just was a bouncer.
It's funny you mentioned that you're friends with a lot of these wrestlers and such, because we've had a lot of guys on the show who's passed through the Turnbuckle Tabloid gates and have become the All Elite superstars. We've had Santana Ortiz on the show. We've had Isaiah Cassidy. We've had a few guys here with AEW on our spectrum for the past year. What's your thoughts so far on the on their product and what's going on with them?
I love AEW. I think AEW. I'm an AEW guy now that I watch it every week. I love AEW. I think what they tried to do is they said, okay, WWE is going to be like the family friendly, like the kids and stuff like that. And they're going to try to get that market. And AEW said, we're going for the marks. We're going for the diehard, like the 30-year-old wrestling guys that have been in this business, that have been into this business forever, that know the ins and outs of this business. Like, we're going for that. That's our target demo. And I'm not saying one's better than the other. I'm saying that one is more of an emphasis to a certain demographic. Mm-hmm. And I'm in the AEW demo, man, and I think they're doing a great job. I think the guys are trying to experiment and do things that they couldn't do in other wrestling promotions. They're doing. Like the women's match last week with Thunder Rosa and Britt Baker doing like hardcore slamming onto thumbtacks, blood, like ladders, tables. Like I was like, oh shit, like AEW's coming to play. And from what I've talked to the guys about, they don't have any writers. It's what the wrestlers want to do. What do the wrestlers want to do? And then they get to do it. So one of the things that you will hear about wrestlers when they go on podcasts once they've left WWE, when they talk about it, they talk about how WWE is very produced and, like they have lines, they have scripts, they have things. And if it's not on the page, it's not on the stage. You know, it's stuff like that where every move that they do is kind of calculated. So obviously I can't knock that too much because it's working for them. They're WWE. They're going to, they're the king. But at the same time, as a comedian, as an artist, I would understand guys and girls getting frustrated by that and not having their opinions heard, not doing the things that they want to do and the things they want to do with their characters. So I could see why AEW is really attractive to guys. And so, yeah, I'm really enjoying what AEW is doing, man. I watch every week. I think they've got some of the best pure wrestlers in the world. I think Rey Fénix is it. Like, if you thought Rey Mysterio was good, now make him a foot taller and a little more muscular and even more acrobatic, and it's like, holy shit. You know, like, yeah. It's really amazing stuff, and I'm really enjoying the product that that AEW is putting out. One thing that I love, though, about wrestling fans is wrestling fans more than – maybe it's like wrestling fans and football fans are the only people that really do this or do this the most. Every week they will talk online about how much the product sucks and how much they and how much, like, they would change or what things they would do differently. But then they also watch every week, and they interact every week. It's the craziest thing. So yeah, like a fan of the Detroit Lions will watch every week and be like, "Man, team sucks. General manager sucks. Coach is horrible." That we watch the next game. Of course, I'm gonna watch the next game.
Of course, why not? Of course,
it's my team. And wrestling fans are the same way. There's certain wrestling Twitter accounts that I. Just every week, it's like WWE sucks, AEW sucks, New Japan sucks, blah, 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 blah. But then it's like, but you're watching every week, so obviously they're doing something right.
Yeah. What out of Cali? Did what was out your way? Because you know they were there, not territorial, because you know WWE was right. All over the place. But did you have your own promotions out there that you'll stop and watch? Any indie any promotions that were out there that you'll check out?
I saw a couple of things out there right before the shutdown. God, I wish I knew the name of them. I want to give them credit. There's a couple good Los Angeles promotions that are going on. I know
PWG was around, was over there.
PWG. Okay, yes. I watched a little PWG just whenever I could. But yeah, but I would see some indie promotions. One thing I love about and that I miss so much about the live wrestling shows is, especially with the AEW fans, like the fans are so smart and the fans are funny and the fans are like, the chants are some of the best. Like, nice. They're so creative. They're so great. I remember when we were on the Jericho cruise right before we docked in the Bahamas, and then there was like two other cruise ships on either side of us. And the fans, we had a wrestling match going on. There was a wrestling match going on in our boat outside on the deck. And our boat was a little smaller than these two other boats that were on our sides. And their people were like coming out on their balconies to like watch the wrestling match on our boat. And we started chanting, all the fans and the Jericho crew started chanting, "Fuck your boat. Fuck your boat." They started saying that, and our boat's better. You know what I mean? Like, and then there was one side that was definitely a lot of old people, and our boat started chanting, "You will die soon," like that. And it was just so funny.
It's just as witty as the British that come over during WrestleMania season and just start destroying wrestling shows with their chants. I always wonder like how they come up with their songs, because it's like they just do it out of the blue and they just know it's the exact thing to say.
And I love the wrestling fans that love it all. Like, I love the wrestling fans that are like, I can watch a technical match, you know, just a technical wrestling clinic. We can watch an old school match, a tag team, a luchador, a hardcore. And then sometimes you can watch just the ridiculous. One of the matches on the Jericho cruise, it was Halloween night, and it was Kenny Omega, Cody Rhodes, and the Young Bucks and Brandy against five Impact people. And Brandy, Cody, Young Bucks, and Kenny Omega all dressed up as Super Mario characters. And it was the funniest, greatest, like, it was just pure entertainment. It was just so fun. And like, they did moves during the match that were reminiscent of Mario Kart. Like they would throw banana peels. Kenny Omega threw his turtle shell backpack at someone at some point. It was just so funny. It was just like, so I like it all, man. I like the serious. I like the ridiculous. If you want to throw some supernatural stuff in there, hell yeah. Undertaker, lightning bolts. I'm in. I'll do it. Why not? So yeah, I'm all for all of it.
It becomes a pretty much a job when you're doing a podcast like this, because you know you almost forget that you actually love wrestling, because you get to tell the story, and then, you know, you have to tell the news and you have to do this, but you forget about, and I miss the days of which I didn't know how the business worked or what it looked like or what they did. I miss those days when I saw The Undertaker come out and I almost shit my pants. Like I miss those days.
It's crazy. Cause that's how I feel like with stand up too. Like I've been a comedian now for 17 years and, it's hard for me to watch a comedian with like those fresh eyes that as someone who hasn't seen a million comedians, so every now and then a comedian will come along that will remind me of that and really make me laugh and be funny. I'll just be like, oh man, this is no wonder why people love this. This is so great. It's awesome. And it's probably the same way with you with wrestling. Every now and then a match will come along, a thing will happen, and you'll be like, oh yeah, this is great. This is awesome.
Yeah,
you know, like it's just.
I was listening to Eric Bischoff's podcast, and he said. He said pretty much when you watch wrestling, it should be how the match makes you feel. It's not about, you know, critiquing how they did the suicide dive or how they put the person in a sharpshooter. It should be how it makes you feel. And I feel the same way when I watch and listen to comedy, especially stand up, because I love it so much that sometimes I get lost in what it really is, which is sit back and make a motherfucker laugh. And it was recently, I was watching your stand up the other day, especially had recently, I was listening, where you spoke about how your dad basically made you who you were. And that's when you gave your heartfelt, thank you to such for, you know, him, beating cancer and stuff. And I was sitting there thinking, I was like, I could imagine him sitting there with his dad watching wrestling, like his father, like you're trying to run up on him and put him in a fucking headlock and shit like that. Was it like that in the household? Did you like, was being a wrestling fan, did you grab your sister and like put her in fucking in headlocks and shit like that?
Well, my sister was a year older than me and not a dwarf, so I couldn't put her in anything. She was much bigger and she wasn't having it. No, there was nothing I could do to her. But no, I had friends, and we of course did stuff. We did wrestling. You know, I don't know if you remember Wrestling Buddies. Right. I had wrestling buddies, and you always, you know, it's like it's weird because they would always be like, "Don't try this at home." And it's like, yeah, but you're releasing a giant pillow that looks like the Macho Man. Of course, I'm going to try to do an elbow drop on that thing. Like this is how it works. But yeah, we would do that, and I didn't really watch with my dad. He didn't like wrestling, but so I would kind of watch it and sneak wrestling in. But I enjoyed it. But it's funny, he didn't like it, but at the same time, he took me.
That's cool.
He took me. I'll never forget this. This was a house show. It was the Anaheim Convention Center back in early 90s. And the main event was a battle royal. And it was in the end, it was Bret Hart and Yokozuna for who was going to win the battle royal. And like Hulk Hogan came out and distracted Yokozuna, and then Bret Hart threw him over, and the place just went ape shit. The place just erupted. It was awesome. I've never heard something that loud, maybe before or since. Yeah. So. Yeah, it's great. It was that fun environment. And now here's something that a lot of people don't know about me, but is true. I've actually had one professional wrestling match.
I was gonna ask if you ever took a bump. I was gonna ask if you've ever did it.
I went to a wrestling school because my buddy was doing it, and he said come by. So I went to the wrestling school. I took one lesson, just one. And as most people will tell you who have taken one wrestling lesson, that's an awakening. Holy shit. The ropes are not rubber bands. They are wrapped elevator cables. They fucking hurt. Taking bumps is not like when you were at your friend's trampoline. It hurts. And so I got done with that, and I'm like, wow, that's what those guys do? Oh, man, that's insane. And I knew that wrestling wasn't for me in terms of I couldn't be a wrestler. But then a few months later, I get a phone call from the guy that ran the wrestling school. And he's like, hey, do you want to do a match? And I'm like, I've had one lesson. Like, what the hell are you doing? Like, I don't know. And he goes, yeah, but we're doing this event at a fair. And he called it a mini match, but it was two dwarves wrestling. And he goes, one of our minis dropped out and we need a mini so we can pay this other guy. And I'm like, okay, I'll do a match. Fuck it. And I showed up to this fair in Los Angeles, and this was a legit card. Like, Rikishi was on the card. Mark Jindrak was on the card. The wrestler that played Mordecai, if you remember that gimmick.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He was on the card. So there were some legit people on this card. And the wrestler that I faced was a mini, but he wasn't really a dwarf. He was just really short. He was this Mexican guy, and his gimmick was the psychotic clown. And he didn't speak any English. So when we were working out the match, he had a translator there, and we were going back and forth, and he would say something, he'd translate, and it was a lot of fun, man. And he was so good, because he was like, okay, like, what can you do? And I went, nothing. I can do nothing. I can fall. It's about it. I can run the ropes. I can, like, that's all I can do. And he's like, all right, we'll have to figure this out. But, he goes, all right, you're going to do a Hurricane Rana. And I'm like, I can't do a Hurricane Rana. And he's like, don't worry, go off the ropes. We'll do a sidewalk slam. Just flip your legs up. I'll do the rest. And I'm like, okay. Sure enough, in the match, we do the sidewalk. I flip my legs up. He puts them on, and then he twirls me, and then he does the front flip bump, and it just looked amazing.
He took care of you. He took care of you.
Oh, he made me look so good. I won the match on a sunset flip. I went over. I was the face. But one part of the match that didn't go well, I mean, it probably looked great, but didn't go well for me, was he went to the outside, and then we were going to do a suicide dive, tope suicida. And so I go, and I jump through the lower rope. It was more of a lope suicida. And that's not my joke. That's Excalibur's joke. I can't take credit for that. So I do a lope suicida, but I had so much adrenaline going that I jumped way too hard, like way too far. And he was like, oh shit. And he starts backing up to catch me, and he backs up, he catches me, takes like another two steps, and then falls. And my head like nails the guardrail, just bam, just nails the guardrail. No blood, but the next day, like just like Sylvester the cat getting hit by a mallet, just massive lump on my head.
And I could almost picture you doing that, but except I want to see you do it like an AEW. I want you to be in the Dark Order with a mask. I want you to be like what, like 66 or whatever number you're going to be, or whatever the case may be. And you know, Excalibur yelling Lope suicida while you're
Lope suicida. Yeah, no, I'd probably be like 0.5.
Except 0.5.
I'd be 0.5 in the Dark Order, which would make sense because my wrestling name for my very first and only match was a half pint.
I can see that. It could work.
They brought me out as half pint. But yeah, I've had some experience, but I got a little better. My buddy and I, the guy that actually got me, who I went to the wrestling school with, we would do stuff for our high school What do they call those things? I'm blanking on the name. Like when you do something, the whole school is in the gym. Like, I don't know, whatever. But we would do these performances, our shows. We would always do wrestling. We do frog splashes. We do stuff. When I ran for vice president of my school, I only did it to do a skit. That's the only reason why I did it. Didn't want to win. Didn't care. Wasn't going to be that guy. It's like, I'll get soda machines in every classroom. No, I won't. I was just going to do it so I can do a skit in front of the whole school. Assemblies. That's what they're called. I was blanking on the word. I don't know why.
I was thinking spirit week or something.
Yeah, kind of like that. Yeah. So I did a skit, and in the skit ended up throwing my buddy off the risers through a table.
Holy shit.
That's a cool, and it was awesome. Cool, we didn't tell the teachers.
I was about to say, that's a cool school. They allowed you to do that. Holy shit.
No, they didn't allow us to do it. They're just like, what's your skit about? And we're like, you know, some jokes, some things. There'll be a wagon involved at some point. Mentioned nothing about the table. Threw him off. Threw him off. He landed through the table perfectly. It was so much fun. And then the one of the greatest gigs I ever got so I'll explain this. When you do a show, when you do a TV show and there's a live studio audience, there's always someone who has the job of the audience warm-up guy.
Right, right.
Or if you saw the show Crashing with Pete Holmes, his job at one point was the audience warm-up guy.
Right.
This is the guy or girl who's a comedian who's during the commercial breaks and during the time when they're not filming, they're keeping the audience entertained. Mm-hmm. And they do this through stand-up. They do this through games. They throw out candy and stuff like that. Like, their job, keep the audience up, keep them entertained. So when the show comes back, they're at a high energy level. It's a really hard job to do because you can't necessarily do stand-up because you're starting and stopping, and you don't necessarily know when you're starting or stopping. Sometimes you think you're going to have 3 minutes. Sometimes they're like, hey, we're having some trouble with the mic, so just keep talking. And you're like, how long do I need to keep talking? They're like, like 15, 20, 30 minutes. Like, you know, like, and you don't know how long you're doing, so right. you just keep it going. I got a call to do – they needed an audience warm-up person on the show, Hulk Hogan's Wrestling with Celebrities.
Ah, I remember that. Yeah, yeah. That's all with Todd Bridges and all of them.
Yes.
Yeah,
this was on TMT.
Yeah. Rodman was on it. Yeah, I remember. Yeah.
Yeah, we use the term celebrities really lightly. it was Dennis Rodman, Todd Bridges, Screech, RIP, Nikki Ziering.
Yeah.
You're like,
yeah.
Ziering? No, it's Nikki Ziering. I don't know who that is. Frank Stallone, Danny Bonaducci, like these are the kinds of people that were doing Hulk Hogan's Wrestling with Celebrities. And I got to be audience warm-up guy, but it was during the wrestling taping. So there was a wrestling ring. So I would go out in the wrestling ring and start hyping people up, and I would try moves. I ended up doing a 619, which I think we nicknamed the 308, you know. But yeah, like I did a 619. Like, I learned how to do that. I had this thing where a buddy of mine, the same buddy that we would do assemblies together, he started heckling me from the audience. Then I called him in. Like, you know what? You think you can do better? You get in this ring. And he'd come to the ring and he started telling horrible jokes on purpose. The audience started booing him. I was laughing at him. And then he took the mic and turned around and just hit me in the head with it. So now – and then we started doing a match.
Wow.
Then we started doing a match. And it ended up with me doing a frog splash off the top rope. And the ref, who we told we were going to do this, runs, slides in, counts 1, 2, 3. The place goes nuts. They're going crazy. And Hulk Hogan then, like, calls us up to the announcing booth where he's doing it. And he's like, brother, you guys are like the wrecking crew out there. That was, like, the greatest thing. And I have a picture with Hulk Hogan on my desk, and the look of joy on my face, I cannot duplicate. It's just like, it's so happy.
It's funny you mentioned that because we try to do that. We try to do that over here. We a promoter that I know, he wanted to incorporate comedy and wrestling, and we did kind of the same thing where we had stand up in a ring before they had a meet and greet with Billy Gunn and Farouk and Ron Simmons.
Nice.
And the guy, you know, and I was there to MC. I was having some material to go with and stuff like that. And I actually tried my first set in the ring for like 5 minutes. The crowd was not having it. They were not. They're like, look, where the fuck is the wrestlers? We don't give a shit about comedy. And yeah. my daughter, she had to be about 7 at the time. I said, how do you think Daddy did? She goes, you were horrible. But the comedians that were there, they were like, yo, dude, it's a tough crowd, man. You had the balls to even try. He goes, we died out there. He said, fuck it. We're in the ring. We love it. We didn't care. And it's funny because I was going to ask, because a lot of, like, we've had comedians on the show, and, you know, it's funny that how many comedians are wrestling fans. These guys really, do you like bump into a fellow comedian and, you know, you shoot the shit and go, hey, did you watch Raw last week or shit like that?
Dan Soder, Jeff Dye, of course, Ron Funches. There's a lot of comedians, Tony Hinchcliffe. There's a lot of comedians that are wrestling fans. And it's like, and now we're in this world where we're like, it's this club within a club, like the club of like comedians that are actually doing it, making money and making a living. That's an elite club. And then within that club, there's this little club of comedians that like wrestling. And yeah, we mark out together. We're on text threads. We talk about all the stuff that's been going on. We're all trying to be known as like wrestling's favorite comedian. I think that's Ron Funches right now.
Right.
When you have Ric Flair introduce your comedy special, okay, you've got the title, Ron. You are wrestling's favorite comedian. But yeah, I'm coming for you, Ron Funches. I'm going for that title. I'm trying to do some stuff. I've been featured on AEW Dynamite. They did the when everything shut down and they were producing shows. I was part of the Manitoba Melee. And if you remember that from AEW, that's where like Jericho punches the camera and then Sammy Guevara takes the punch.
Right, right.
But he's at a different location and then he does that. And it just kept doing that with a bunch of different celebrities, wrestlers, and then eventually celebrities. I think in the thing, Gabriel Iglesias is in it. He gets hit. He comes back and he grabs a tequila bottle, shoved towards the camera, and then it shows me, and then I get hit. So yeah, I got hit with a tequila bottle on AEW Dynamite by Gabriel Iglesias. It was a blast. So yeah, I'm trying. Yeah, I forget. Gabriel's really into
Gabriel's another wrestling. One. I've seen like a lot of wrestlers who are now trying a hand in stand up as well. Like Mick Foley is doing it. He's trying to get a stand up. Dolph Ziggler is one. I recently saw that. It was a WCW wrestler, Mike Saunders. Mike Saunders he's a comedian now as well. Yeah, he's doing.
Really?
Yeah, he does stand up as well. So I was gonna ask, like, what wrestlers have you met that you could see doing stand up? Who you think can do stand up?
Oh, dude, Jericho could do it in a second.
Yeah,
Jericho. Like, if he wanted to do it, he could do it. He does a little one man show. I've seen him do a one man show before, and it's different than stand up, because stand up is like, you know, you have to make a laugh every minute, every 30 seconds. Like, you need a laugh. So what one man show is different. It's a little, you can go longer in between the laughs, but yeah, Jericho can do it in an absolute second. I think if MJF wanted to, he could do it in an absolute second. I've seen Dolph. He's great. I've seen Rob Van Dam do it. Rob Van Dam did stand up. Booker T could probably do stand up. Just he's awesome. He's just everything he said. I mean, and there's different guys. Roddy Piper was doing it before he passed away. Jake the Snake had a one man show that he was touring around with, and it makes sense for these guys. It makes sense, you know. They get a little older. They're sore. They can't do the kind of. I mean, before our interview, I was on YouTube and I watched one of Hulk Hogan's last televised matches. It was him versus Sting in Impact
right.
in like 2010 or 2011.
Right.
And Yeah, Hogan couldn't move.
And it's crazy. You see, like, Sting, you saw Tully Blanchard recently in the ring, and you're watching, he's like, wow, these guys really, you really still, you can't, like, let it go. Like, there's just that thing, you just can't let it go.
And I get it. I completely get why they can't, like, and I especially had some greater understanding of that in the last year when everything shut down, because, like, stand-up has been my life. Like, I haven't had any other job. Like, the only other jobs I've had was when I was, before I was 19 years old, like, little, like, I worked at Hot Topic as a cashier. So what am I going to do? Like, quit stand-up and go back to Hot Topic? Like, no, I'm old. They wouldn't let me in. So, like, this, all I know, and I've been touring essentially nonstop for, like, doing stand-up for 17 years. I've essentially been touring for 15 years. Like, just nonstop. So, and it was all of a sudden taken away from me. Like, when the pandemic happened, it was like, nope, you can't do this anymore. And I just had to be home and sit home, be home. And I thought that's what I wanted for a while, but it was nice for like 2 weeks. And after 2 weeks, I was like, I gotta get back out there. So I have so much sympathy now for wrestlers and pro athletes when people see like a pro athlete at age 34 or 35 and go like, just give it up, just retire. You made enough money. It's like, it's more than that.
Right.
It's not the money. It's literally your life. You don't know anything else, especially if you're like a football player, a basketball player. Those guys have been playing and that's all they've been doing since age, you know, whatever, 12, you know? So, and the fact that I'm 37 now, like if I was a pro athlete, I'd be over the hill unless I'm Tom Brady and I got another 10 years left. Ageless wonder. So, I'd have to quit if I was a pro athlete now, and I'd be just figuring out what now I wanted to do with my life. And I can't imagine that. So I'm very lucky that I'm in stand-up comedy and that I can keep going, because you see really, you know, older comedians still do it. And like, hell, I saw Rich Little. That's right, kids. I made a Rich Little reference like 5 years ago. And this guy was a classic impressionist from like the 70s and 80s. And he was still doing it in Vegas at the Laugh Factory. You know, he had a small crowd and I didn't care. I wanted to go see Rich Little. And I'm glad I can still do that. I, you know, whereas you see a pro wrestler, you're like, oh man, Tully Blanchard, give it up. And it's like, dude, you can't. It's all you know. You don't imagine the thing that you've been doing and training for and you're really good at and that you love. That is all of a sudden just taken away.
Right. Yeah.
You can't do it anymore. Stop. Figure out something else. And you're like, I don't know anything else. I don't know what else to do. So I get it why those wrestlers have a hard time retiring and why they keep coming back for one more match. Totally understand it, man. But I like that a lot of them kind of made that transition. Your Mick Foley's, your Jake the Snakes, your Rob Van Dam's, like they're making the transition in stand up. And all they do is they go out on stage and they tell old wrestling stories in front of wrestling fans. And that's all we want to hear.
Exactly.
We want to hear Jake the Snake tell his stories. We want to hear Dolph Ziggler tell his stories. Dolph Ziggler's doing both. Like before the lockdown, Dolph Ziggler did the Royal Rumble in Phoenix, Arizona, and then went across the street to a comedy club called Stand Up Live. And right after the Rumble ended, his show started.
Oh, that's fucking cool, man.
Insane.
Yeah, that's
insane
cool.
Insane that he did that. And so they had the Rumble on at the comedy club. And as soon as the Royal Rumble ended, the screen went up. And then, like 15 minutes later, out walks Dolph Ziggler on stage. It was crazy.
Was he was he still in full gimmick? He had his whole.
I don't know. I wasn't there for the show, but he was telling me about it, and I'm like, oh my god! Like that's madness. Like most guys, you know, you go through a Royal Rumble match, and you're like, okay, that's my night. I'm gonna go ice my back and you know go to bed. Nope. Dolph Ziggler's like, I'm doing a stand up comedy show. It's good for him, man. I appreciate guys that do stuff like that because they're working and like they're trying to be better at everything. They're trying to be better at wrestling. They're trying to be better at stand-up comedy. Like Dolph, when he does it, he's trying to do stand-up comedy. He's putting in the effort. Some guys, they look at stand-up comedy as like a safety net, and they do it, but they do it half-assed, and it's just sad when that happens. Like, not DZ, man. He's jumping into it. He's great.
Man. I just looked at the time. I said, wow, we really shooting the shit here. Nice. This is awesome. Right?
This is what I'm talking about. And wrestling fans are this cult. Like, we're this underground cult where, like, you're out with your other friends and you're talking, but as soon as you talk to someone and you briefly kind of be like, yeah, I was up late last night, I was watching AEW, and then they kind of go, you watching AEW? Or, like, you make a Chris Jericho joke, and they're like, wait, Chris Jericho?
Or you have a Bullet Club shirt, and you're walking down the street, and you just give each other that look like, yeah, I know what you're into. I see what you're into. Yeah. It's funny because I met the comedian.
I walked out on stage to Judas by Fozzy, and I look out in the audience, and I see a few people in the audience like, oh, shit! Like, you know what I mean? Like, and then I know that we can just have a conversation for 4 hours after the show if we want to, because we're like, we found each other out. Like, it's really fun that way when you discover someone else as a wrestling fan.
That's how I met James Madden, the comedian. I was at a stand-up show, and I was there, and he's in the middle of a set. He's about to wrap it up because he was doing he was the opening, and he turned to a guy. He goes, man, let me get off stage right now, because this guy looks like he's about to beat my ass, looking like Jay Lethal, the Ring of Honor television champ. And I just was the only one who laughed. And he turned to me, he goes, that fucking guy knows what I'm talking about. And after that, I said, I got to book this guy for my show. I got to talk to him. It's a secret society.
Jay Lethal reference. Exactly. I love that.
But yeah, before I let you go, because like I said, I know you have stuff to do, and I just got to get this in. You're a new dad. Right.
Yep.
And are we getting the child into wrestling? Or is it what we're doing these days?
Yeah, dude. I have a daughter. I got my wife into wrestling. My wife and I watch AEW together every week, and you know, the daughter watches it as well. So I'll try to get her into wrestling. I'll try to make it fun for her if she wants to watch like WWE, and as it's a little more kid friendly, then great. I would love that. And but you know, if she's into it, great. If she's not into it, if she thinks it's dumb, that's fine too. It's whatever she's into. But I mean, one thing that I've noticed with some of my friends who don't like wrestling. Oh, I forgot, with all the comedians that love wrestling, I forgot to mention Sal from the Impractical Jokers.
Oh yeah, cute. Yeah. Sal is a big fan. Yeah, I think all of them. Shout out to him too.
But yeah, one thing that I've noticed about my friends that don't like wrestling or say wrestling's dumb, when you go to a live event, when you see it live, you can't help but get into it.
Yeah,
you
it's can't true. Yeah,
help it.
Yeah,
it's just fun. It's fun. It's exciting. You end up cheering. You end up like seeing these moves and going, "Holy shit!" I don't care if you got hurt or not, but man, that move was incredible. And you find they do stuff and you appreciate the theater of it. And it's really great. So I hope she ends up being a wrestling fan. Between comedy, wrestling, and football, I'm going to try to get her into one of those. If she's into all of them, awesome. If she's into none of them, okay, I'll figure something else out and I'll support whatever the hell she does, you know. I just hope she doesn't watch my wife's shows. I can't have HGTV on for more hours during the day.
No.
I can't with that. I can't with the network. They're fine. They have a purpose. If you enjoy that stuff, that's amazing. I'm glad you found something you like. But my wife is obsessed with HGTV, and it's just it's on all day. And I just can't. So I'm gonna try to get my daughter into wrestling, and then you know we can watch WWE Network and do stuff like that together. So yeah, it's going to be fun. And you know, as a parent, it's exciting to think about what your kid is going to be into. You know, will they be into the stuff you're into? Will they be into their own thing? Will you discover as a parent something that you're into because of what your kid is into? Like maybe my kid will be into, you know, I don't know what the kids are into nowadays, NFTs. I don't even know what that means. But maybe she'll be into something in some subculture where I'll be like, huh, what? she'll get me into some YouTube star, and I'll be like, "Who's that? What is that?" What? And but then I'll watch it. And I'll be like, "Oh, this is cool. Like, I like this. It's something I can be into." So I'm hoping for that. I look forward to the future and seeing what she likes, and no matter what it is, sharing it with her.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing, man. I have a 13-year-old; she'll be 14 in September, and she came up with me watching wrestling and stuff. We would go to wrestling shows, and you know, Daddy had, you know, the inside because he knew people, and you know, because he has a podcast, so he got some connects. So it was funny because she met everyone from like Ric Flair to Cody to Mean Gene. I mean, her whole profile on Instagram could be just that. But the one person she didn't want to meet, and I was like, why? Out of everybody, this is the one you should meet? She didn't want to meet Rey Mysterio. It's like, what? Like, why? Out of everybody. She was like, no, I'm cool. Like, what? No, this is... Fuck it, Daddy will go meet him.
That's crazy to me because, like, I would think it'd be like maybe The Undertaker because he's scary or something like that. Right. Or, like, now, like... Abaddon and AEW, I'd be like, yeah, I get that. Why you wouldn't want to meet them?
But Ray was like, what? Really? I mean, you sat with Scott Hall and Kevin Nash and put up the two sweet and everything, but you didn't want to meet Ray. Oh, whatever. Okay, kid. But
Ray's great. he was on the first cruise. He was on the first Jericho cruise, and I got to talk to him. I got to talk to him backstage for a while. And Ray, here's the crazy part about Ray Mysterio. I'm 4'4". He's not that much bigger than me.
Yeah.
He's like 5'1", 5'2", maybe. And to see what he's been able to do and become a wrestling legend and to be one of the greatest luchadors of all time. And just like, I am in awe of Rey Mysterio Jr. for what he's able to do. His match versus Eddie Guerrero at Halloween Havoc is still one of my favorite matches of all time.
Yeah, that was amazing. Yeah, that was one of the great ones. Yeah,
and just doing moves that the U.S. audiences had no idea were out there, no idea existed, and yeah. So I am in awe of Rey Mysterio Jr. So. Tell you what, the next time your daughter doesn't want to meet him, call me. We'll go hang out.
The only thing I do remember is that when we were at the indie event, it was, as a matter of fact, I want to send you a link to that match. It was Rey Mysterio versus Amazing Red. It was like a match in which everybody wanted to see for the longest, once in a lifetime. And they did it in New York. They never aired it, but Red just released it recently. I'll send you a link on Instagram. And it's a great match. And he did the one thing that he did with my daughters when he was coming into the ring. He did the head when he grabs the kid head and they mesh heads for a little bit. And he did that with her. That was her moment. But other than that, I have to send you a link. It's a really, really good match. But Brad, I want to thank you for your time. It was awesome. We got to do this again. We got to talk more wrestling. We'll come down the line. We'll do it again, man. Let everybody know where they can get you and, what's upcoming for you.
Yeah. First of all, thank you so much for having me. This was a blast. Just go to bradwilliamscomedy.com. My full tour schedule for the rest of 2021 is on there. I'm back, man. Like I said, I got my first shot of the vaccine, so I'm out there. I'm doing stuff. Hopefully, I'm coming to a town near you. If not, wait. I tour like a damn madman, so you will see me. So come out and get a ticket. See me live. Follow me on Twitter at FunnyBrad. Follow me on Instagram at Brad Williams Comic. And in terms of the future, we don't know. Things were shut down for a year, but no matter what, I'm always going to keep touring. I'm always going to keep doing stand up. But keep watching AEW. You may see something soon.
I'm telling you, I had a feeling something was going down. I had a feeling. And when you come to New York City, I'm definitely going to get my way and go see you, man. Thanks again for your time. And stay safe and good luck to you and your family.
Thank you, man. You too.
Later. Turnbuckle Tabloid.
3, 2, 1. Turnbuckle Tabloid.